Good evening, church. Thanks for tuning in for our midweek connection. I hope that this message is finding you all doing well. Before we get started, just a couple announcements. I want to just remind you guys about the communion cups. I will be more than happy to deliver them to you if you would like to stay in your home and be safe. So if you could just email me at chad@cocep.org, I would be more than happy to get your address on there, tell me how many you need, and I can bring them to you. We can do a porch swap, or I can put them in your mailbox, whatever you'd like. But just let me know, and I would be more than happy to do that. Also, Kids Corner, it's going to be on after this one, so the kids have something to listen to, a message a little bit more geared towards them. But also, something special that we're doing this coming Sunday is there will be a Kids Corner for the Easter Sunday. I know that typically we haven't been doing anything for the youth on Sundays, and that's because we would like you to sit with your youth and listen to the sermon that Bob has. That way you can spend some time together doing family time on Sunday. But this Sunday, being Easter, we are going to put a special something on there for the Kids Corner. Also, just a reminder about the daily devotions, if you haven't been listening to those. They've been uplifting me, listening to the daily devotions and formulating those and hearing what God has for us daily. And I just hope that you're tuning in and enjoying those. Before we get started, let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for this church. We thank you for this technology that we have to be able to reach out and to still have a sermon of some sort that would be for the people as we are all in the stay-at-home initiative. Father, we just thank you for the faithful givers of this church that has been planning for years of just their giving over and over and over again so that we had the ability to have this technology. So I thank you for that, and I thank you for preparing us for years for this coronavirus. And I just ask that you be with the coronavirus. We ask that your will be done. We ask that you help it to flatline, help it to go away, and just bring us all back into the church building so we can be together again and have these together. And Lord, but obviously we just want your will to be done in the situation with your own timing, not ours. Father, as we sit here with our midweek connection, we just ask that you sit with us. Come join us. You tell us where two or more are gathered, so will you be. And we are definitely all gathered here together listening to this. And I just ask that you sit with us and be with us. Touch our hearts and touch our minds and help us to take the message that you have for each one of us individually. We love you so much, and we thank you for all of this. And we ask these things in Jesus' precious heavenly name. Amen. Before I get started with the midweek connection, I would just like you to go ahead as we do every Wednesday and just select video one below. Listen to the song to kind of get us prepared for the message. And then afterwards, we go ahead and get started with the message. So go ahead and pause the video now, select video one, listen to it, and then you can unpause and we continue with the message. When Charlie was a boy, he once said to his mother, "Mom, you can't be good without praying." "How do you know that, Charlie?" she asked. "Because I've tried," he answered. Another young boy was sent to his room because he'd been bad. A short time later, he came out and said to his mom, "I've been thinking about what I did, and I said a prayer." "Well, that's good," she said. "If you ask God to make you good, he will help you." "Oh, I didn't ask him to help me be good," replied the young boy. "I asked him to help you put up with me." See, prayer is a fundamental part of being a Christian, but unfortunately some people treat prayer like it's a game, tossing their prayers up to God and just hope he'll catch them. They hope they'll get lucky and God will answer their prayers, but they don't really believe that he will. When we pray, we don't need to wish or hope that God will answer. We can have confidence and know that he will. The Bible promises that God answers when we pray, always. In Luke 11, 5-10, Jesus tells us a parable about prayer. He says, "Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened." See, it's important to realize, though, that although God always answers our prayers, it doesn't mean that we always get what we ask for. Sometimes God's answer is yes, but other times the answer is no, or later. It's super easy to pray if we always get everything that we ask for. It's in the no's and the laters when staying consistent with prayer is difficult. So what are some important keys to prayer, especially when the answer isn't an immediate yes? The first is belief. Believing that God hears our prayers is so vitally important, and it's not only that, it is also belief that God wants what is best for us. So when we pray, we have to understand that what we're asking for may not be in God's plan right now, or ever. Just because we want it to happen doesn't mean God does. I'm thinking of Hannah and her story in 1 Samuel 1:1-20. Hannah and her many years of heartache over her inability to have a child. Though we only read one prayer in the text, 1 Samuel 1:11, we could probably safely assume from the context that Hannah had asked God many, many, many times to give her a baby, and for years the apparent answer was no. We read that Hannah was ridiculed, teased, and taunted. She was even given less portions of food, all because she didn't have a child. But this didn't stop her in having enough faith to continue her prayers, regardless of the time frame, believing that God was hearing her and would act in both her and his best interest. The second key to prayer is to pray without ceasing, even if you feel unheard, regardless of how your current life is going. See, we all face questions without answers and problems for which there seem to be no good solutions. We look at our current reality and realize nothing within our power can change it. We can't redo those years, erase those diagnoses, or completely heal that relationship. It's easy to become resentful, be overcome with regret, or compare ourselves to others. When up against seemingly impossible situations, we're tempted to cut and run or find ways to ease the pain. We're desperate for solutions, but our only options sometimes lead us to more problems. When we've done all we can do by ourselves, when we've come to the end of our rope, we look for something or someone bigger than ourselves. We ask, where's God? Or how could God let this happen? And if he won't cooperate, could it be he simply doesn't care or just even isn't listening to my prayers? It's on the contrary. During these times, God sends us a lifeline. He promises that in our greatest weakness, his power reaches its fullest potential. All we have to do is ask. The pages of the Bible of history are full of people who face struggles of enormous significance, yet continue to steadily move forward without losing confidence in God. Their stories show evidence of God's promise at work in the midst of their darkest moments. Think about Job. It's in these times that we have to really check ourselves and make sure that we are on our knees praying, not in our heads complaining. And maybe the reason God isn't answering our prayers, maybe it has nothing to do with our sin or anything of that nature at all. Maybe he just wants us to grow. The third key to prayer is focus. So many times we get lost in wanting what we want so much that we forget to pray for his will to be done. We want so badly for things to be different that we pray solely for our situation to improve without thinking about the domino effect that may happen if our prayer was answered in the way that we prayed it. This leads us to get so frustrated with the no. And if we consistently find ourselves with the no answer, we need to remember the warning in James 4:3 that says, "When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives." See, we jump into prayer without taking the time beforehand to relax and focus on the fact that we are about to come before God and have a conversation. We get so focused on what we want to say that we rush. From beginning to end, we rush. And the moment we're done, boom, we're gone on to the next thing. We didn't even give God a chance to respond. See, the Bible tells us to be slow to speak and quick to listen. Yet when it comes to prayer, we tend to do the complete opposite. We have so many words for him that after the amen, we continue on with our day. We need to not only focus before the prayer, but also focus in silence after our prayer to give God a chance to communicate back. The final key to prayer is to completely trust God. Now, this is hard for us humans because consider the story about Paul and the thorn in the flesh, if you would. Why did God refuse to remove Paul's thorn? It's difficult to understand from a human perspective, but try to see it from God's perspective. See, Paul said, "To keep me from becoming conceited, because of these surpassingly great revelations, there has given me a thorn in my flesh." This is 2 Corinthians 12:7. See, Paul battled pride all his life, but that's understandable. He was smarter, better, educated, and more experienced than most of the followers. Everywhere he went, the Christians probably doted on him and told him how wonderful he was and how privileged they were to meet him. See, God knew the attention and accolades could cause Paul to become conceited. So to keep him humble, he denied Paul's request for physical healing. He said, "My grace is sufficient for you. I'll give you the strength to deal with these other issues. I want you to keep trusting me." You think you will be more effective without this physical pain, but actually, you're more effective because of it. And Paul, determined to trust in Christ, responded with, "Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why for Christ's sake I delight in weaknesses and insults and hardships and persecutions and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." When God doesn't answer our prayer, we need to keep trusting in His goodness. There will be times when we can't see how any good comes from our current situations. And it's especially important in those moments to hold on for dear life to our trust in our Heavenly Father, knowing that He is always working for our good. During this coronavirus stay-at-home initiative, we all have more time to sit and think. Fear, anxiety, and worry all have us focused on the world and what's going on around us on this earth. Prayer, however, allows us to not only develop a more intimate relationship with our Lord and Savior, but it also allows us to shift our focus away from this world and focus on eternity. At the end of this here, I ask that you guys please select video 2, and then we will conclude with prayer. So please pause this, listen to video 2, and then unpause me for our final prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just love you so much. We thank you for this opportunity to come before you today, to hear the words that you have for us, pushing us forward, giving us encouragement in times that seem so dark. But we know that you are here for us. Clear our minds. Help us to focus on the only thing that truly matters, and that is you. We love you so much. We thank you for this time together, and we thank you for the ability to come before such a loving, forgiving, merciful Father. We love you, and we thank you. We ask these things in Jesus' precious heavenly name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If you would like to join us in person, we meet on Sundays at 8:45 and 11 a.m. and on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Have a great week.